Okay, I think we are on. All right, in our book, Trusting God, we are on week three of the same lesson, I believe. But who's counting? It's a good one. Knowing and experiencing God's love. And we are on page 298 in our study guide in the back of the book. And again, this is on knowing and experiencing God's love, which we have talked about the last few weeks. And last week we talked about John 15, how he is the vine and we are the branches. And that he does prune us out of the love. He disciplines us that we will grow and bear more fruit, because that shows his love for us in the disciplining, in the pruning. So we're going to start with question six on the bottom of page 298 from Lamentations 3. And this will be, for those of you that were in first service, this will be the third time that we are hearing from Lamentations 3 today. Driving at home today. So we're going to start in Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3, 17 through 24. Sandy, if you would read those.
And my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him.
So what feelings did Jeremiah express in verses 17 to 20?
He didn't have any hope. He felt hopeless. Lost his peace. Depressed.
Despair, depressed, hopelessness. Defeat, discouragement, joylessness. Not a pretty picture, was it?
Verse 21, it says this. I want to say, but I recall.
Mm-hmm.
I have hope.
And then I noticed even in verse 20, it says that surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. And I just, that picture of bowing down, and it brings to mind humility. And what have we been hearing about in Matthew 18? It's all about humility and in coming before the Lord and seeing our sin before the Lord. In this case, I think he's bowing down and his soul's remembering, and he's coming in humility. So then, the next question is, how did he deal with those feelings in verses 21 through 24?
He turned his thoughts toward God. He took control of his mind, really, and that's what we have to do, is, you know, purposely think on what is the Word of God. And when we do that, there's always hope in God.
Mm-hmm.
His loving kindness is just forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
If we look around us, a lot of times that will bring us down. But if we keep an upward look,
yes,
it reminds us of all the hope and promise.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Remember how many times he's helped in the past.
Yep.
Some we recognized and some we didn't.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Says in my notes that Jeremiah is reflecting in this passage on not feeling like Jerusalem isn't protected.
We
thought we were the chosen ones, and how can this be happening to us? And I think that's, I mean, there's a good parallel there for what we just went through with the election fraud. What a lot of people experienced is that they were setting their hope on, okay, if the right person gets in office, we're God's working for us, and we know that it's going to be okay, and that is not the way it went. And I think that helped a lot of people kind of set that to the side and say, that is not where my hope is. It is not.
That's right.
And this person being in charge and circumstances being lined up the way I think they should, but and I know God has us no matter what.
Yeah, like Sandy said, when he says this, I recall to my mind, it was a choice. It was a choice for him of where he was looking. Was he looking out at all the circumstances, all the situation? So it was his choice to recall, to remember, like Carolyn said, to remember God's faithfulness in the past. So he's remembering that his hope is in God, and it is his God's never-ending love for him. And that's what we've talked about in this lesson the last couple of weeks. You know, we say that, it just rolls off your tongue, God's never-ending love for me. Well, when you sit there and really think about what that entails.
You have to have that relationship initially, though, to know that. You know,
right, like, yes.
And there's so many out there right now that
yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So without that initial relationship, that's, none of that can make sense in this paragraph. That's only really if you are a child of God.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I have a note in here that says, some texts read, it is of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be very easy to be consumed by the dire situations of the world, but.
Oh my gosh. If you read the comment section of anything, it's like, ah, this is horrible.
Yeah.
This is the way people talk to each other.
Oh, it's at. And it's just gotten so much worse.
Oh,
very sad. And then when he says, let's see, where was that? Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Another word, and some translations I believe say the Lord is my inheritance. And so then I thought that that's the eternal perspective too, that we can have hope because this world is not our home. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But again, like Mandy said, we have to have that relationship with the Lord and with Christ. And so then that should give us motivation then to tell others as well.
I always say you can only think one thought at a time. So when a thought comes in, change that thought.
Mm-hmm.
It might be getting in the Word. It might be listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to purpose to do it.
Yeah, you have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To change that mind. And that kind of falls into the next question. How do you deal with your feelings of discouragement and defeat?
Yeah, you just gave us you rattled off some good suggestions there.
Yeah, you just have to recall who God is and claim His promises through reading His Word and just putting our focus on Him. Maybe it's just going out and see the creation.
Especially yesterday with the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Feel spring coming.
Mm-hmm. And the birds chirping and
reading the scriptures too and seeing how he dealt with the Israelites looks so simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just obviously he was taking care of them all the way through. And for us it's hard to put it here.
Yeah, it is hard sometimes.
And how many times they turned back?
How dumb they were.
Yeah, the Old Testament's hard to read through
sometimes
because you're just like, again?
What? That's why he calls us sheep.
Dumb sheep,
I think.
Dumb sheep. Used to raise sheep. They're the dumbest.
Oh, man. I used to ask, am I ever going to get it right? I mean, I still ask that.
Yep, so dealing with feelings of discouragement and defeat, again, we just need to make the choice to renew our mind with the promises of God, remember His faithfulness from the past, and don't turn on the TV. There's my tip for the day. Don't turn on the TV. So praise music, get into His Word.
I always do, everything by watching what I'm watching is the make of home edition. Tonight and when tomorrow night by watching that
Extreme Makeover,
God's having them to make it a wonderful house
sure.
For all those people.
Yes, that need it.
Needs
yes.
And stuff.
Yeah.
It
ends happy.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Yep.
And then, too, if you can't, you know, seem to get a grip and pull yourself in, mean, God's word always tells
you. Yep.
Just like Herod tells him to wait.
Yes. 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 And then that is making a choice to get into the Word, because sometimes you don't feel like, I mean, you're just so, if you're looking at your inside and so discouraged and defeated and looking around you, and it's like, sometimes I don't feel like praising God right now. So there go the feelings, and think in your mind, I know I need to get into His Word. And yeah. And then He was so faithful to then speaking to you, and it's like, why did it take me so long to get in here? And it's like, what's that?
He will show you this.
Yes, He will. Yes.
Tony Evans says, putting our hope in God isn't passive, it's active.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what could you learn from Jeremiah about handling these feelings? And we've kind of talked about that, but anyone have anything they... Again, just choosing to remember God's love for us never ceases. Never. His mercies are new every morning. Sometimes in the dark of night, in waking up in the night, is when my mind can just go to places, I mean, and discouragement, and the enemy starts.
I used to get so mad at Dave when I was sweeping. I just think of all the things that upset me for one reason. I just sweep away.
Sweeping.
Sweeping, not sleeping.
Run in the vacuum.
Okay. Oh, I had written in my Bible off to the side, our faithful God is greater than our greatest despair. Mm-hmm. And isn't that true? He is greater. So let's look at Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. And we're looking at God's discipline. What can we learn from these verses about why God disciplines us? Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. Annie, would you want to read those? Do you have that?
Sure, I'm trying to find them.
Oh.
Sorry, it's going to be on. Exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Should we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they have disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
So why does God discipline us from these verses?
His love.
Out of his love for our good.
His glory.
His glory.
Because we are disobedient.
Because we're disobedient. Yeah, there you go.
He loves us.
Mm-hmm. And my first thought was because we're his children, and how thankful I am to be able to be calling him my father, and that I am his daughter. I mean, if we weren't his children, he wouldn't have a reason to discipline us. So.
And I like how it says that earthly fathers. And that, you know,
yep.
If you were in a painful situation of disciplining in your own home, then that can be a really difficult
yes.
concept to wrap your mind around.
Yes.
So you have to retrain your brain a little bit and accept that this is perfect discipline.
Mm-hmm. You know, it says he disciplines us that we may share his holiness, and that the discipline yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So, all for our good and his glory.
I don't know, it says it helps train him to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
When we go through things, we gotta listen.
Which falls into the next question. When have you experienced God's discipline? Describe one instance. Anyone have anything they'd care to share there?
Being hit my chest.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've all had times of discipline from God, and did you learn any lessons from that discipline?
For curiosity, I've shared this before. It got the best of me, and I watched something on TV that I shouldn't have, and I recognized it right away. But at the same time, the guilt was really intense. So I learned I have to guide my eyes and listen to what I know I shouldn't do.
There's so much garbage on the television and on our telephones.
Yeah.
And they titillate. The headlines titillate. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is going to tell you what you think it's going to say, and sometimes it's totally different. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can't believe it. But I'm tempted to go read down some of those rabbit trails and say, well, what does that? And sometimes I kind of get a clue of, don't go there.
Right. Yeah.
Don't really know why.
Yep.
Or know why not. Because it looks sometimes perfectly good on the deadline.
Same
way with books that you read. Yeah, be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my discipline involved tithing. When I was not tithing, when I first started, came out of school and had all kinds of debts and all the rest, and I had my first job and getting my first paycheck, and I wasn't tithing like I should. And the Lord ended up using an unbelieving boss to discipline me because my pay got cut by a third. And so it's like, okay, Lord, I get the picture here. So then the lesson I learned was to trust in his love and his provision, because I thought, well, I don't have the money to, you know, to do it. Well, then, of course, when I became faithful in the tithing, then things turned around. So that was a good lesson for me at a young professional. And then the next question, did you sense God's love in the process? I said, well, not at first.
It was a big chunk,
and it was like, why is this happening to me, and why, you know, so it took a while for me to figure it out, but he was patient with me and faithful, so I said, I'm not sure how long it took me to realize what he was trying to teach me, but, and it was probably looking back that I realized it. I mean, this was, you know, 40 years ago or whatever, but the lesson stuck, let me just say that. The lesson.
His love is greater.
His love is greater, you're right.
It's interesting when you have something that you're disciplined on that at the time hurts so bad, but then when you look back and you think, oh my goodness, if I would have continued on,
oh, yes,
how much greater
yes.
would the pain have been? Like, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
If I would have continued down or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just seeing that God's provision early on
yep.
kept you from having, you know, something that you would have lost everything, or
yeah, yeah.
If you look at it from that perspective,
right?
And sometimes he disciplines because he loves us so much, and he can see down the road. It's
coming. Yeah, yeah.
Which is why children need to be taught.
That's right.
The earlier, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our pain can help with that too.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Sometimes you gotta use yourself as an example for them to Yeah. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be honest with them.
Yeah. So God gives us grace, gives us the grace we need each day. We don't have the grace today for the what ifs of tomorrow. Describe a time when it was especially important for you to focus on God's daily grace without looking ahead. And then what happened when you tried to look down the road to see how you would cope tomorrow?
Well, I recognize it every day. My radiation burns.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't, I'd probably just go into the self-pity
mm-hmm.
mode.
Mm-hmm.
Cry. What good would that do?
For me, I just, looking back, I went to, Mark had a stroke when he was 40, I can't remember how old, but it was 1999. And I drove him to the hospital instead of calling 911. It's a long story, but, well, he kept pushing my, he wouldn't let me call. Anyway. Oh goodness. But I will never forget in that driving to OSF, going probably 85 miles an hour and thinking, okay, if the police stops me, I'm not stopping. He can just follow me right to the ER and I'll tell him later why I was speeding. But anyway, this was what I was thinking on was when it says to focus on God's daily grace without looking ahead. At that point, I was thinking I could be a widow here shortly, or I could be a caregiver of a paralyzed man, or what am I going to do as a single mom with a four-year-old and a six-year-old, or, you know, all of that. So what happened when you tried to look down the road to see how you would cope tomorrow, you know, I thought, well, if I look down the road on my own self-sufficiency, I didn't know how I would manage. So God's grace was just there daily. And putting the right people in the right place in that ER, like I say, it's a long story, but thankfully he had no ill effects. He had some surgery later on and he has, you know, everything was fine, but only by God's grace. But that was just really a situation for me that the what ifs, the big what ifs of life. Okay, well, let's go on to these promises of God. Summarize what God promises in these following verses. So, Terry, if you would look up Psalm 32:10. And Mandy, Isaiah 41:10, and Gaylene, Isaiah 43:2-13. And then Carolyn will be ready for Psalm 13, because we're going to get through this lesson today. I just know we are. So Terry, Psalm 32:10.
Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
So what's our God's promises here?
That his love is going to surround us no matter the circumstance.
And I'm just picturing, you know, I picture that word. I'd like to come up with other words, you know, surround. I thought of envelop.
Yeah.
He just envelops us. He embraces us. It encompasses us. But it's those who trust in the Lord. You know, we have to trust in him. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole world in his hands.
He has the whole world in his hands. Yes, he does.
He has us in his hands.
Yes, he does. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isaiah 41:10.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear dismay, Brahmin, your God, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with the righteous right hand. So when I was in the OT school, that was in the front of my life.
Yep. Yep, he gives us strength, but it's his strength. And it says, surely, it says that a couple times, surely. That means no doubt, there is no doubt he's going to help us.
So relax. That's easier said.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a patient I was taking care of the other day, and that was right on her closet.
Oh.
I mean, even it doesn't matter how old you are, you know.
Yep.
Things are scary no matter how old or young you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really cool. I was right in there. It was.
God's reminder to you.
And her.
Yeah. Okay, Isaiah 43, 2 and 3.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He will protect us in all things, and he will be there with us in all things.
Yep.
No matter what.
Yep. And again it says, when we go through the trials, not if. Not if we go through the trials. So it's kind of a given. We're going to be going through trials. But he will be with us. And the trials are not going to overtake us. They're not going to be so difficult that we cannot get through them because he is with us.
I'm going to say, how do we know where we're going anyway, right? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's trials that big, I'm going to see him, right?
Okay, Psalm 13.
How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the dead. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart will rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
So have you ever felt as David did when he wrote Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2? If so, describe those feelings in your own words. And he says, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me?
When the world was having problems, I was like, we'll get through this one day, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know when Dave was in the hospital for 8.5 weeks, I didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And I kept saying, he will go home. I just don't know which one.
And isn't it wonderful to have that assurance? Yeah. Yeah. So how did David end this psalm in verses 5 and 6?
But.
I
have trusted in my mercy. My heart shall rejoice. I will sing to the Lord. As he's dealt bountifully with me. We don't even realize how bountifully he has worked with us. I think about a cartoon I saw as a kid, and I don't know if it was Mr. Magoo or standing on scaffolding and walking along and stepping off into the air, it looked like. But scaffold would come up and come on.
Oh.
Oh. I think that's the way we kind of go through life.
Yeah. Yep. David trusted in God's love for him. His heart is rejoicing in his salvation. So I thought, what else matters? Bottom line, really, what else matters? When he says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation.
But
so.
You have to have that. That's the, I mean, I feel like all through today, like, if we're not saved, we don't have it.
The, you can't hold those promises. That's right. Yeah. So.
Tony Evans says we should live with expectation in the goodness of God as we wait for him to move in our situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding when God delays He always delays for a greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's usually for us to grow. Mm-hmm. To grow in him, to understand more of who he is, more of his character, more of his love for us, understand that even more. So how do you think it's possible to get from the feelings of verses 1 and 2 to the decision in verses 5 and 6? Mm-hmm.
When you realize, I was always confused by that concept of God, like the heart, but fear is the heart of love. Have you guys ever heard that?
Mm-mm.
That was so confusing for me, and I think I finally had to come to the conclusion that God has every right to deal with us in his full wrath. Every right. And so when we recognize the power of God and what he could be doing to us, but he doesn't, out of love. And so we do fear the Lord because we know how mighty he is, but out of love for us, he won't. He's chosen us instead. And I think that's where David ends up, is that you can't help but feel how bountifully he's dealt with you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Get what we deserve.
Yeah.
Right. Mercy, 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 mercy and grace.
And the fear of God is to revere him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just doesn't call out to the Lord, just wants to go on about his business. He addresses the Lord three times.
Sure. Yep. Yep. So then the last question, and you can all answer this to your own, and between you and the Lord, to what extent do you currently experience God's love? What do you think is the major barrier keeping you from feeling God's love for you, and how can you start to remove that barrier? So you can prayerfully consider those questions, and hopefully be able to have him remove any barriers that you're experiencing, that you're not feeling his love right now. And I think we probably all go through periods where we kind of don't feel it. We don't see it. If we don't see answers to prayer, that's what I thought. There are times when my prayers aren't being answered, it's harder for me to feel his love. Well, there again, we're emotional creatures, aren't we? When he created us to be that way. But again, we have to choose to believe and choose to get into his word and choose to renew our minds with his promises, and he will be faithful. And we're not islands. I mean, we need help, and we need sisters in Christ to encourage us, and along with his word. And so,
we can't trust our feelings.
No,
they fluctuate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Today was yes. Stop. Yeah, Pastor Scott. Yeah. 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 So, Sandy, would you close in prayer?
Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the assurance that we can get from it, for your love, your constant faithfulness to us, all the grace and mercy that is new every morning. And we just want to tell you, Lord, that we love you. We're thankful that you have chosen us to be your children. There is just no greater honor. And I do pray, Lord, that as we come to recognize of who we are in you, we will become more like you in our everyday living. I know there's a lot of growth that needs to take place in each one of us, and I know that you will not stop growing us. And for that, we praise you. And we just so thankful, Lord, for all that you are, for all that you do. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So next week we are moving on to lesson 9 on page 303, which is chapter 11 in our book.